Experience-dependent neuroplasticity. The brain is the organ that learns, so it is designed to be changed by your experiences. It still amazes me, but it's true. Whatever we repeatedly sense and feel and want and think is slowly but surely sculpting neural structure. As you listen to this, in the 5 cups of tofu-like tissue inside your head, nested amid a trillion support cells, 80 to 100 billion neurons are signaling one another in a network with about 500 billion connections called synapses. All this incredibly fast, complex, and dynamic neural activity is continually changing your brain. Active synapses become more sensitive, new synapses start growing within minutes, busy regions get more blood since they need more oxygen and glucose to do their work, and genes inside neurons turn on or off. Meanwhile, less active connections wither away in a process sometimes called neural Darwinism, the survival of the busiest. All mental activity, sights and sounds, thoughts and feelings, conscious and unconscious processes, is based on underlying neural activity. Much mental and therefore neural activity flows through the brain like ripples on a river, with no lasting effects on its channel. But intense, prolonged, or repeated mental neural activity, especially if it is conscious, will leave an enduring imprint in neural structure, like a surging current reshaping a riverbed. As they say in neuroscience, neurons that fire together wire together. Mental states become neural traits. Day after day, your mind is building your brain. This is what scientists call experience-dependent neuroplasticity, which is a hot area of research these days. For example, London taxi drivers memorizing the city's spaghetti snarl of streets have thickened neural layers in their hippocampus, the region that helps make visual spatial memories. As if they were building a muscle, these drivers worked a part of their brain and grew new tissue there. Moving from the cab to the cushion, mindfulness meditators have increased gray matter, which means a thicker cortex, in 3 key regions: prefrontal areas behind the forehead that control attention, the insula, which we use for tuning into ourselves and others, and the hippocampus. Your experiences don't just grow new synapses, remarkable as that is by itself, but also somehow reach down into your genes, into little strips of atoms in the twisted molecules of DNA inside the nuclei of neurons, and change how these genes operate. For instance, if you routinely practice relaxation, this will increase the activity of genes that calm down stress reactions, making you more resilient. Changing the brain for the better. If you step back from the details of these studies, one simple truth stands out. Your experiences matter. Not just for how they feel in the moment, but for the lasting traces they leave in your brain. Your experiences of happiness, worry, love, and anxiety can make real changes in your neural networks. The structure-building processes of the nervous system are turbocharged by conscious experience, and especially by what's in the foreground of your awareness. Your attention is like a combination spotlight and vacuum cleaner. It highlights what it lands on and then sucks it into your brain for better or worse. There's a traditional saying that the mind takes its shape from what it rests upon. Based on what we've learned about experience-dependent neuroplasticity, a modern version would be to say that the brain takes its shape from what the mind rests upon. If you keep resting your mind on self-criticism, worries, grumbling about others, hurts, and stress, then your brain will be shaped into greater reactivity, vulnerability to anxiety and depressed mood, a narrow focus on threats and losses, and inclinations toward anger, sadness, and guilt. On the other hand, if you keep resting your mind on good events and conditions, someone was nice to you, there's a roof over your head, pleasant feelings, the things you do get done, physical pleasures, and your good intentions and qualities, then, over time, Your brain will take a different shape, one with strength and resilience hardwired into it, as well as a realistically optimistic outlook, a positive mood, and a sense of worth. Looking back over the past week or so, where has your mind been mainly resting? In effect, what you pay attention to, what you rest your mind on, is the primary shaper of your brain. While some things naturally grab a person's attention, such as a problem at work, a physical pain, or a serious worry, on the whole, you have a lot of influence over where your mind rests. This means that you can deliberately prolong and even create the experiences that will shape your brain for the better. I'll show you how to do this in detail, beginning in Chapter 4. Meanwhile, feel free to start taking in the good right now. This practice, applied to a positive experience, boils down to just 4 words: have it, enjoy it, and see for yourself what happens when you do.